In the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our learning together, right? Tell what, dear? Just now, I've been asked the questions, you know. You know, the question, yeah, goes in this way. You know, sometimes it's like, because many of us were born into the church. How many of us here were born into the church? Were you born into the church? Okay. So I think most of you, except with the exception of a few here. Now, I think we have been told the doctrine of the church, like food washing, Holy Communion, you know, time and again, over and over again. So it's like, to a certain extent, we have been brainwashed, right? So like, because you have listened to it for so many times, and it's like your brain, yeah, is attuned to it now. There's no choice because you've been listening. Okay, now let's look at you know, some passages from the scriptures. Now I want you to read the First John. Okay, First John. We read chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. Okay. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Right? Now, here it tells us about why actually John, yeah, you know, wrote to them time and again. Right? It's not because they did not know the truth. Is it not so? They actually knew the truth, and yet what John, what chose to write to them again and again, right? Now it's like to strengthen them, yeah, to strengthen them. I think they are okay. We turn to Second Peter. Please turn to Second Peter chapter 1. Now we read verse 12, yeah, to verse 15. Yeah. Now, for this reason, I would not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know already, and are established in the present truth. Verse 13. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that, okay, verse 15, you always have a reminder of this thing after my deceased. So is Peter doing brainwashing here? These people knew the truth, but he kept reminding them. Chapter 1, yeah, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 to verse 15. Now, because God has shown him that, you know, very soon he would depart from this world, is that also? Yeah? And therefore, you know, before he went, so he wrote to them again, I remind you the truth, same truth. Like in our case, like foot washing, Holy Communion, stuff like that. Okay. And then he makes sure, he said, I would be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease, after my departure. So he is saying to the members that he would find someone or find a group of people, yeah, to keep reminding them. So do you call this brainwashing? No. No. Right? So this is how we can stand strong against, you know, the infiltrations of what, you know, heresies, or, you know, so that you will not be swept away. You can remain to, very strong. Okay. We need to understand this. Okay, you know, for for Satan to penetrate into the church, there must be a way. He tried to create, like for example, we said confusion, or he's trying to stir up, you know, members, especially those whose faith, you know, is not very strong, you know, right? And then from there, it's like a crack so that he could penetrate into the church. Now, as far as the apostles are concerned, yeah, now you find that they always remind. They are not preaching like something different. They remind the same old story, you know, again and again. Again and again. So, even in I'm not sure about other churches, okay, places that I go to, I always talk about the basic belief. I'm being honest with you. I talk about the Holy Spirit all the time, wherever I go. I talk about the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Because there are so many things that we can talk about the Holy Spirit. Yeah, not just about the doctrinal side of things. We can talk about, you know, how the Holy Spirit can help us, can strengthen us, you know, empower us, stuff like that. Okay, any questions? So this is not indoctrination. It's not, because we are talking about the Word of God, the Word of God. You know, when we talk about brainwashing or indoctrination, it means that you're using something very negative, yeah? You know, to cause the person to act very irrationally, right? To be in a state of what we call abnormality. But this is not. This is to help you stand strong against the tide, the influence of the world. Right? It's different. It's not indoctrination. According to the scriptures, reminder. Yeah. Okay. Right. If not, then we should move on to the next topic. Baptism. Is foot washing clear? Do you think it's okay? Do you think it's okay? Class, like what I said, you are always free to ask. I'll do my best to answer your questions. But I will not drive you out of the class if I cannot answer your question. No, I won't. Okay, now, baptism. Baptism is one of the three sacraments, yeah? As far as the true Jesus Church is concerned, right? And I think there's no need for me to repeat the requirements, yeah? Right. What I want you to do is to first look at some of the passages in the New Testament, yeah, concerning baptism before we come to the mode of baptism, okay? Now, I want you to first read the baptism of Jesus, the baptism that is done by John on Jesus Christ. Okay, we turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We look at verse 13 to 17, yeah? Now then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Okay? Now, I think this is a statement here in verse 15 which is not found in other gospel. It is only found in Matthew chapter 3. Now here it says, for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now I think one thing that comes to my mind is, you know, baptism, talking about baptism in the name of Jesus, yeah, yeah, is for the what? Forgiveness of sin. When sins are removed, we put on Christ and we put on righteousness, right? So in that sense, you know, it's like Jesus is showing us an example, yeah, to follow, Okay, so through that example, by going through that, we know that we shall be made righteous. That's why in that sense, Jesus said, it is for them to fulfill all righteousness. Okay, now, it also tells us that, you know, for a person to become righteous, there is no other way apart from getting baptized. That's the only way. Right? Now, that's the ideas that we can gather from this part of the scriptures. Right? Now, I remember last year I gave you a handout on that. The baptism of Jesus. So, you know, every year I talk about baptism. I'm happy you. I'm very happy. Serious. Because it's like, it forces me to look into different things, you know, within the doctrine of baptism. So that's why this time around I have tried to, you know, come up with baptism in living water in greater details. Okay, now so this baptism of Jesus. Now we look at verse 16, yeah? Verse 16. I want you to pay attention also to the facts mentioned in this passage, yeah? And other passages that we would read later on. Okay, verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Now, so quite clearly it's not sprinkling of water here. Is that right? So this fact actually proved that the baptism of Jesus is not by this, what, by sprinkling, is it also? Okay, now, so when he was baptized, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Okay, I want to ask a question, yeah, because here it also it is related to the coming of the Spirit. Yeah. Now, my question is, when did Jesus receive the Spirit, or when did the Spirit come upon him like a dove? In when he was in water? So, when did he came out of the water? Huh. All right. Now, we look at Mark, yeah, and see what Mark says about this. Turn to Mark chapter 1, yeah. All right, now, verse 10. And immediately coming up from the water, yeah. You know, in another translation, it said coming up out of the water, out of the water, after he has come out of the water. Right? And then he saw the heavens parting, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, meaning the baptism has completed already. Right? Now, it is quite unlikely to say that Jesus received the Spirit at the point of baptism. It's not true. He actually came out of the water. So we can come to a conclusion here. These are two separate occurrences. Do you agree with me? Judging from what you are reading or what you have read, are these not two separate occurrences? Or did they happen, or did they take place at the same time? No. After he came up of the water. Okay, now let's look at Luke and see what Luke says. Yeah. Chapter 3. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. Now we read verse 21 and 22. Okay, 21 and 22. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was open. So I think the account here tells us the Spirit only came when he was praying. So now it seems there is a slight, I wouldn't say a slight difference, or I would rather say a variation, yeah, in the accounts of Jesus' baptism. As far as the Gospel of Luke is concerned, he said, while he prayed. Okay, now, you look at it in this way. Let's say this is the point of baptism when he was inside the water, okay? It's a very not so good example, okay? Now, let's say this bit here is when he was in the water, okay? Now, this bit here is before, is pre, okay? And this one is post. Right? Now, if you say that he prayed here, he was praying here. Now again, there are still two separate occurrences. Is that not true? Right? Now, here, the more accurate interpretation should be that after he came out of the water, and then he prayed, and then the Spirit came. So two separate things. The Bible does not indicate that Jesus received the Holy Spirit when he was in the water. No. Is that clear? You can read the text yourself, right? The scriptures is in front of you, so you can read it yourself. According to Luke, the description given in Luke is slightly different. There's a slight variation there. To clip on my belt.
I just want to comment because when you come out of some people when they baptize they're praying. So that's, you know, like when they come out of the water they're just because they're in the praying position.
Yes. I think in Africa, yeah. Africa, I think, you know, there are quite a few instances where, you know, the full-time workers, whoever, you know, perform baptism. And, you know, people rose up from the water and started speaking in tongues. Yes. Now, the question is, how do we know that they received the Spirit? Because of tongue speaking. Right? Quite clear. Now, if the person has not spoken in tongue, then we would not have known that he or she has received the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, so I think the example of Jesus' baptism is a very good one. He rose up from the water, and then he cried. Right? Now we go through it. Now we go through some of the main thing first. Yeah. Right. Okay. Now I want you to read Matthew. Turn to Matthew. You know what you should do. What you should do is when you go through the doctrine of baptism, you should go through all the relevant verses. You know, don't skip them. There are a lot of facts that can help you answer questions, especially, you know, if you really want to preach. Okay? So remember those facts because they really can be helpful in answering questions. Right? Now, all right, we come to chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Now go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, so he said, go therefore and make disciple of all nations. Right? Now, to make what disciple of all nation, the starting point is where? Baptism. Okay? Now, so that's why we believe, yeah? We believe that baptism is the starting point, right, of our journey of faith. So, meaning, if a person is not baptized, right, he can never start this journey of faith. Okay? Now, so I think it's quite clearly, make disciple of the nation, baptizing them. Begins with baptism. Okay, now we turn to Mark, yeah? Mark 16:16. Okay, verse 15, yeah? Verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, you preach the gospel, and then he who believe in your gospel, what must you do? You baptize them. Again, it's the starting point. Right? Now, you preach and preach and preach. You know, the listeners accept. What must you do? Baptize. That is the starting point for their journey of faith. Now, some may question, what about Luke? Now, we turn to Luke. Eh? Luke chapter 24. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Verse 47, yeah? Now, look at the core of the gospel here. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. No mention of baptism. But how does the forgiveness of sin come about? How does the forgiveness of sin come about? Baptism. Yeah? You find that it's all about baptism. And here, obviously, it emphasizes what? The forgiveness of sin, isn't it? Forgiveness of sin. It begins with baptism. That's why it's the starting point. It's the starting point. You believe, and then you must accept baptism. Starting point in the sense that you are ushered into Christ. You are within the body. Now, if you only believe, but if you are not baptized, you are still outside. Yeah? Now, if you believe, you repent, and if you are not baptized, you are still outside. You are still outside the body of Christ. Now, if you believe, you repent, and you baptize, so baptism is like a window through which you can come into Christ. Okay? That's the point I'm making. So, it's the starting point. Yeah? Now, obviously, you can find that in the Old Testament scriptures, they all talks about cleansing or whatever, okay, the need to be cleansed with water or whatever. Now, but what I'm going to do is to focus on the New Testament scriptures. Now, one other thing I want to help you understand, yeah, is you find that, you know, when Jesus said, he who, because the class is very quiet, it's okay. No problem. Now, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, the question is, how is a person, okay. Jesus, here is before ascension, isn't it? In Mark 16, right? This is what I normally do. And then you look at Peter when he was old. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 21. Here it says baptism saves, isn't it? I'm trying to introduce an approach to you, okay? You know, how I go about talking about baptism. There are different ways. This is one of the ways, right? Now, so I first talk about this. Baptism saved. And this guy here, even though he was at his advanced age, he did not forget what Jesus said. Baptism saved, isn't it? So it's like Peter echoed what Jesus has told him. Yeah? Now, the question is, how does baptism save? How does it save? You come to... Okay, we read 1 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter first. First Peter, we look at chapter 3. Yeah? 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, verse 21. This is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, from this verse itself, you can see that there are quite a few points that we can, you know, use to answer question or to preach, you know, the doctrine of baptism. First, it's not the removal of filth of the flesh. It's not an outward thing, right? It's not a symbol. Now, today, if you walk around, you know, you sweat, you have been sweating, you know, then how would you get rid of your sweat? By taking a shower. Right? Now, baptism is not for that, though. Baptism does not serve that function. What does baptism do? To give you a... What does Peter say? Good conscience. Now, how does a good conscience come about? Then you can refer to Acts chapter 2, 38, 22, 16. It's for the remission of sin. So when your sins are forgiven, then what happened? Your conscience is clear. Yeah? So you don't have to go straight to, you know, baptism must be done in the name of Jesus, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes it's a bit, you know, a bit too much. You get what I'm saying? So there can be variation, but again, I said variation within the same foundation. You cannot vary it in such a way that if you said, oh, no need to get baptized. And that is not correct. Right? Baptism saves. Yeah? Okay. Now I want you to turn back to to the Gospel of Luke, yeah? The Gospel of Luke. Turn back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Okay, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. We read verse 47, yeah. Again, yeah. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Right? Now, when you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, what did the apostle do? They preached repentance and the remission of sin through baptism. You know, during the opening ceremony, I've quoted you quite a few verses, remember? Repentance and remission of sin, repentant remission of sin, repentant remission of sin. Do you know where they are? Uh-oh. No, I didn't mention John 3:5. Good try, man. Yeah, is there? Chapter? Yes, chapter 5, but before that? Chapter 3, 19. And then chapter 5, 32. Chapter 8. Where is it? Okay, now what I'm saying is, yeah, what I'm saying, you find that they follow this pattern, yeah? Repentance and remission of sin, repentance and remission of sin. Now obviously remission of sin is only can only be made possible through baptism. Baptism actually is the core of their gospel, is the key features of the gospel, because that's the starting point. Right? Now, you know, this is what I normally do. Having explained this, then I will come to the mode of baptism. Yeah. Now, if you look at Ephesians, yeah? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We read verse 5. Ephesians 4, 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many baptism? One. There's only one correct mode of baptism, and there's only one baptism that saves, and a person can only be baptized once if he has been baptized correctly. Okay, if he hasn't been baptized correctly, then he has to be baptized until he get it right. Until he gets it right. Is that not true? Okay? Alright. Yeah, so this how you can introduce, right? Now, tell me the modes of baptism. What are the mode of baptism? What is the mode of baptism? No, you need to follow the order. Not yet. Rocky, I'm talking about modes of baptism. How should baptism be done? How should baptism be done? Everyone is tired, yeah? Class, you want to stand up to wake yourself up? Please rise up, otherwise. I stand up also, so everyone stand. Oh. Okay. How should baptism be done? No. Follow the order. In the name of Jesus, head bow, full immersion into living water. You're reading from it. Good try. You're reading from the hymn book. Okay. So, you call this what? The mode of baptism, yeah? What about the Baptist? Is it part of the mode? So we actually split the part into two. The mode has 4 points, and this is the requirements of the Baptist. It must have the Holy Spirit. Okay, now I want you to explain. Yeah, I want you to explain. When you read Matthew chapter 28, yeah, verse 19, baptism was instructed by Christ to be carried out in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But today we don't do that. We baptize people in the name of
Jesus.
So how would you explain that? Yeah. Sit down. How would you explain that? You're going to Africa to preach.
Can I say like Jesus was not yet glorified? Like in John chapter 7, verse 48?
What is that supposed to mean?
Even though Jesus commanded to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, after 2 days when Peter preached, he said, "Repent, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus." So he said to the apostles, they know that the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is Jesus. So it's not a preach.
No, I don't agree with you. If I'm a truth seeker, I don't agree with you. I would rather follow the instruction of Jesus than to follow the instruction of the apostle. And Jesus is the master of the apostle. He's the teacher. So, which one would you choose? Would you choose the teacher's way or the student's way?
I think a student is also right. Otherwise, I will correct the teacher if he says something wrong.
But I still stick to the teachers. I give you an example. She is a daughter to her parents, and she is a sister in the church. And what else? She's also she's a staff in the bank. Yeah. But what is her name?
Judy.
You get what I'm saying? Right. Hey. Yeah, this is how I explain it. I'm very simple-minded. What can I do? That's all I know.
So you'd like to say that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is
in heaven. Yes. Okay, now, actually, that's what I said. You know, any accounts concerning baptism must be read very carefully. Right? We look at Luke, yeah? Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Now, before I come to 47, yeah, I would like to ask 46, yeah? Who was doing the talking here? Jesus, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Jesus was talking about who? Who was he talking about? Himself or Christ? Himself, huh? Okay, now he's talking about himself. Now, verse 47 is a continuation, yeah? Okay, now verse 47. Can all of you read this? And that. Okay, in his name, whose name is this? Name of Christ? What is the name of Christ? Hallelujah. Yeah, so when you compare these two passages, yeah, okay, you find that Jesus could not have spoken something which contradicts himself. Right? Because in Matthew he talks about the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and here he refers the name to his own name. So the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit actually is the name of Jesus. Right, by comparing two parts of the scriptures, you can come to, you know, such a conclusion. Okay? Now, I want you to also read Acts of the Apostle. Please turn to Acts of the Apostles. We read chapter 4. Read from verse 10 to verse 12. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 10. Please read. Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Now, that by, the emphasis here is the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's by the name of Jesus Christ. This verse is talking about the name. Okay, the name. Now, when you read verse 12, yeah, Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, which name is Peter talking about here? Jesus, right? That's the only name, right? Now, and for that reason, when you read Acts of the Apostle, you find that they baptize people in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 2, 38, and then chapter 8, yeah, 16, and then, okay, let's go on. Okay, thank you very much. You read from your notes, yeah. Very good. Alright, now, you find that, yeah, even later on, yeah, after the church has been expanded, or, you know, this idea of using the name of Jesus, yeah, is being reminded again by Paul. Now, I want you to read the Colossians. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. Verse 17, yeah? Verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, and whatever you do in words or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So Paul reminded the church what? To do all things in the name of Jesus. Yeah? Now, baptism is such an important sacrament. Obviously it has to be done in the name of Jesus as well. I think there's one more, yeah? Chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father. What? In what name? In the name of our Lord Jesus. Okay? Now, so you find that this is the teaching given to the church. The church at Ephesus, the church at Colossia. Paul said to them that they must invoke the name of Jesus in the things that they do. Now, some people might question, how is it that, you know, the apostle, yeah, could, like, you know, supersede the command of the Lord, yeah, like over, like they have what, they have, what do you call it, overridden the commands of the Lord, yeah, like overrule the commands of the Lord. How is it possible? Yeah, okay. We read Gospel of Luke chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10. We read verse 16. Yeah? Gospel of Luke chapter 10 verse 16. He who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Now it seems that here Christ has given authority to the apostle to interpret his word, yeah? Meaning whatever the apostle said actually is from Jesus as well. That's why he said, he who hears you, hears me. Sometimes for us to understand the teachings of Christ, we need to go through the apostle to understand, you know, the teaching of Jesus better. Now it's like, you know, Jesus never mentioned about baptism must be done in, you know, with head bowing down. Never mentioned that. Right? Now it is the apostle who explained it, right? Made it very clear to us. Okay, now I think there's one more chapter, the Gospel of John, chapter. I think it's chapter 15, yeah? Yes, verse 20. John chapter 15, verse 20. Verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my words, they will keep yours also. Now the last part is that if they kept my words, they will keep yours also. Quite clearly, the word of Jesus is not contrary to the word of disciple. The only thing is when you talk about baptism in the name of Jesus, is that the apostle, had been given the wisdom to explain, you know, the instruction of Jesus Christ, in an understandable form. Right, so they knew exactly what Jesus had said to them, to help them. Okay, one more verse. Yeah? I want to turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We look at verse 42. Verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. In the apostle doctrine. Apostle doctrine. I never mentioned the teaching of Christ or the teachings of the Old Testament scriptures, but here it says the what? The in the apostle doctrine. So it's like whatever the apostle said formed the basis for the church to follow, right? It's like, you know, for the church like it has laid the foundation for the church, right? So that's why we follow what the apostle said, right? Okay, now I think it's quite clear also in 1 John chapter 4 verse 6, he who hear us hear. He who is of God hear us. He who does not hear us is not of God. From there we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay. Right. Any question? This is only an introduction. There are quite a bit more to go. We still got quite a few lessons. Tomorrow I have 3 lessons with you in the morning. And on Friday, I also have 3 lessons with you in the morning. Questions on baptism or anything that we have learned so far? Class, if you have nothing to do tonight, then please remember some of the verses on baptism, at least remember them. Yeah? Is that okay? Any question? Any question on foot washing? No? Right, if not, then we say a silent prayer. Amen.